men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
So we'll go straight into the Word of God. Are you ready for the Word of God? So wherever you are, can you just lift up your right hand and say with me, the Word of God benefits me. My heart is receptive to the Word of God. The Word of God makes impact in my heart. I release my heart to understand the Word of God. The Word of God profits me. So go ahead and convert it into a declaration. The Word of God bless me. I am blessed by the Word of God. I am blessed by the Word of God. The Word of God is instructive in my heart. I gain from the hearing of the Word of God. The Word of God help my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Genesis chapter 3. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis. Now, Genesis is before Matthew. And then, not too far from Deuteronomy. So, it's somewhere. Amen. So, Genesis chapter 4, we're going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 12. So, and I want us to read it in concert. I want everybody to read it. Genesis chapter 4, let's start from verse 1. Now, Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Now later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. Verse 3. Now when it was time, let's read it together, everybody. One to read. Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected?" Verse 7. "You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crushing at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." Verse 8. One day Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Verse 9. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's guardian?" 10. But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Verse 11. "Now you are cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood." 12 together loudly. "No longer Will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work? From now on, you will be homeless. You'll be a homeless wanderer on the earth. Father, we thank you for your word. We understand that your word communicates your mind to us. We understand that your word brings illumination. Your word shows us patterns. Your word teaches us how to live. So we bow to your word this morning, and we are asking that your word will come to us and shape our lives. Let the communication of your word this morning be the communication of truth. Let it be the communication of your mind. Let everyone that hears this teaching, may they not just be informed, may they be transformed. May they not just receive it as a thought, may they receive it as a command. May they receive it as a principle. Let your word sit well in our heart. I rebuke every infraction, every hindrance to the sweet preeminence of your word. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I come against every distraction, every conflict, every confusion, and the spirit of religion that want to suppress the truth of your word. I banish you in the name of Jesus. I pray that everyone will hear your word. The anointing to communicate your word in plainness, let it rest upon my lips. Let the anointing that makes your word grab in the heart of people, let it rest upon their heart. At the end of this discussion, Jesus is glorified, and every one of us here is edified. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. The principle and power of a renewed mind, part 4. The principle and power of a renewed mind, part 4. I want to thank God because every teaching is actually designed to improve our life. Whenever you are taught the word of God, it is to bring benefits to your life. You must understand that when God wants to help a man, he sends his word to him. Glory to God. I want you to know that your life appreciates to the extent the word of God is embraced. Your life appreciates the extent to which you embrace the word of God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that in the beginning God, you must understand that life has its bearing. Life has its betterness in God. So the word of God is the solution to man's predicament. There is no man on earth that will become anything worthwhile without the instrumentation of the word of God. And then you must know this, that the word of God is so powerful that when you apply it, there is a corresponding result it bears. So the reason you come to church is not because it's Sunday. The reason you come to fellowship, it's not because you don't want this week to be fruitless. No, the reason you come to service is because it's a school where you learn to apply the word of God. So it is this understanding that helps us as ministers to teach in series, such that every aspect of that subject can be well explained. Glory to God. So when you attend a church like KDC, it profits you when you follow the series. So by the grace of God, we began the series Principle and Power of a Renewed Mind. We're in the part 4 already. And I want to beg you to get the part 1 to 3. On Thursday was profound. I began to bring us into the core of the teaching. The teaching is two-sided. Number one, the principle of the mind. And then number two, the power of a renewed mind. So if you've been following keenly, I've been trying to explain over and over again the principle of the mind. How many of you have been understanding it so far? I've been able to tell you how the mind functions. And one of the things I said is that the gateway to the life of a man is his heart. But the gateway to the heart of a man is his mind. Your mind can be opened and your mind can be closed. So when you open your mind to something, it sits in your heart. When you close your mind to something, it doesn't get into your heart. You remember I said that? And then I also said that the mind was designed by God to be an object of control. The mind can be controlled. Are you with me? The mind can be controlled. In other words, it is what controls the mind that dominates the hearts. Do we get that now? It is what controls the mind that dominates the heart. And I went on to say that the mind of man was designed to be surrounded. The mind was designed to be surrounded by the Spirit of God. So in Genesis chapter 1, when God created man, God gave man a mind. So tell your neighbor, you have a mind. And the fact remains that who you give your mind to, or what you give your mind to, is what stays in your heart. Please write that down. It's very important. That's the principle on which life is built. Whatever you know today, if you can begin to quote, A is for apple, B is for ball, C is for car, D is for dog, E is for elephant. If you begin to say all these, the reason why you can say it was because you allowed it into your mind, and then you allowed it to pass through your mind and then sat in your heart. Glory to God. Whatever you can remember entered your mind. Listen, whatever does not enter your mind, you can't remember it. Am I correct? No, that's the truth. Whatever does not enter your mind, you can't remember it. So meaning that if you open your mind, you open your life. Whatever you open your mind to controls your life. So if you open your mind to bad news, you will be depressed. Are we together? If you open your mind to bad news, you will just become depressed. Things don't hard though. Things don't tire me. For example, as a student, if you open your mind to discouraging news, that you see that lecturer, that's a wicked though. You know, get anywhere you go write a course where you go pass. Now, the truth is this, if you have that kind of mindset towards a particular course, you're not going to pass it. Except you now subdue it with another understanding. So the Bible now told us in what happened to the mind of God. What happened to the mind of God after the fall? It's important I tell you this, although I've been saying it, but let me put it into context. Now, something happened to the mind of man after the fall. Number one, the mind of man became estranged from the Spirit of God. The mind of man became a stranger to the Spirit of God. Now, how did man fall? Man fell as a result of deception. Man fell as a result of deception. And I told you on Thursday that deception is very powerful. Please, I encourage you to go and listen to on Thursday series to bless your life. It was profound and it was very, very revealing. The truth is this. Now, raise your head. I'm going to say something. I don't want to say I'm digressing, but allow me to interject something today. Success and failure in life is traceable to the action of Adam and Eve in Eden. Whatever man is suffering today, what you call generational curse, what you call poverty, what you call war, violence, what you call problem, are all traceable to the fall. So there is no way I'm going to teach you the principle of a renewed mind if I don't teach you what made the mind old. Something made the mind old. Because the word renew. The word renew means to make like new. The word renew means to make like new. Let's write it down. The word renew means to make like new. Number two, the word renew means to restore to freshness. To restore to freshness. The word renew means to make like new. It means, number two, to restore to freshness. To restore to vigor. To restore to perfection. And then, it means changing into something new and different. Something better. The word renew means changing into something new and different. Something better. Especially spiritually. It means changing into something new and different. Something better spiritually. So this is the whole idea. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. When man ate the fruit, man became corrupt. Everybody say old. Did you see that? So even a newborn baby is old. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now he's old because he has inherited a nature that does not look like God. So every human being, like I said on Thursday, every human being is good and bad. Are you with me? Every human being. There is resident good in every human being. And there is resident evil in every human being. So where did it come from? Everybody say the fruit. The moment man ate the fruit, his eyes became open. Now, let me tell you what evil is. It's good I explain what evil is. The word evil, biblically, means whatever it is. The word, when the Bible uses the word evil, the Bible means what profits flesh alone. That's what evil means in the Bible. Is that okay? Are you with me? Evil, whatever it is that the Bible mentions as evil, let's check it. Genesis 6, verse 5. What did the Bible say there? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. It said, now the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was what? Consistently and totally evil. So what the Bible is trying to say here is that everything they thought and imagined was always towards self. 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 Are you understanding it? So a self-centered life is what the Bible describes as evil. So when he says someone is evil, it means that anything the person does is always directed to self. Now only flesh they gain. That's the Bible definition of evil. Is that okay? So that's why the Bible now says the heart of man is desperately what? Desperately what? Who can search? So, the heart of man. Now, see what God said in verse 6. God regretted. Verse 6. So, the Lord was sorry that he had made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. Now, why did it break God's heart? Now, please take note of this. It broke God's heart because the Spirit of God that could have been able to regulate man had what? Had left. So, what was left was selfishness. Glory to God. So what we mean by a renewed mind in this contest is saying that getting your mind to become different, thinking differently towards others. So that's why what salvation does is to recalibrate your focus. When you were not born again, your thoughts were only self. Self. What will I eat? What will I wear? Where will I travel to next? Self. I. But when you become born again, your thoughts is now expected to what? To change. Are you seeing it now? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Let's see what the Bible says there. Verse 1. It said, since you have been raised to the new life with Christ, it says, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at what? God's right hand. See what the next verse says, verse 2. He said, think about the things. Are you seeing it now? So when you are talking about the renewed mind, you are talking about a mind that is rid of corruption, not thinking of self now, but thinking of God and his people. Let's check Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. He said, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with one another, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Now, let's see verse 3, everybody. Let's read it together. He said, don't be selfish. Did you see that? Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others. Now, this is the new mind we are talking about. Are we together? Now, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see Ephesians 4. Let's start reading from verse 20. Let's start from 20. He said, this is not what you learned about Christ. Now, verse 21. He said, if it be that you have learned about Christ, so, now, since you have heard, see the next thing he now said, verse 22. He said, now put what? Verse 22. He now said, throw off. Did you see that? Your own what? Your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust. Always, what will I get? Have you seen that? So the new man is the man that is no longer living for self. So the whole idea of renewal of mind is saying, stop thinking self. Start thinking God and others. That's what we mean by the renewed mind. And that's what the Word of God does in our lives. Glory to God. Now today I want to show you what happened, the need, why we need the renewed mind, why this need, new mind is needed. And that's what I was trying to say. Why we must become renewed in our mind is your responsibility, glory to God. Let me tell you something, believers. You are the one that will decide to stop living for self. It's you that makes the decision that beginning from today, I'm going to live for God. See what the Bible says in the book of Matthew. It said, but seek you first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Man was designed to be governed. There's a book I'm reading currently, Understanding Your Place in God's Kingdom. Miles Monroe says something. Man was designed to be governed. And that's what I told you, that the mind of man was designed to be controlled. So your mind can either be controlled by God or by flesh or by the devil. Is that okay? Is that okay? So he said, Paul was now saying, who you yield yourself to, a servant to obey, the servant of whom you give yourself to. So when we are talking about the renewed mind, we are saying, one, understand how the mind work, and then number two, understand how God now wants it to function. So before the fall, like I told you, the mind of man was controlled by the Spirit of God. So let's see what happened at the fall. A few things happened when man ate the fruit. Man's thoughts became selfish. And then that selfishness became evil in God's sight. And that evil corrupted the soul of man. So from then, God became really angry with man, because whenever you are thinking self, God is always angry. Raise your head. Let me tell you the truth. Every time you live your life for self, it grieves God. Even as a believer that is born again. You see, I. It grieves God. God, nothing grieves God like selfishness. And that's why, let me be sincere with you, the greatest attack against kingdom living is not witches and wizards. It's not even devil. The greatest attack against kingdom living is selfishness. If God cannot rid you of selfishness, God cannot use you for kingdom advancement. Can I say that again? If God does not deal with the selfishness in your heart, He cannot rid you. He cannot use you for kingdom advancement. So, man's thoughts became selfish. So all of them are together. Selfishness, evil, and corruption. You know, that's why when people talk about, say we'll have a government or a president, when I remember in 2015, when we were all campaigning for a particular candidate and we're like, the man is free of corruption and all those things and all those stuff, I was just laughing. Praise God. Those of you that were with me then, you remember. I made a very profound statement. I'm a student of Miles Monroe, so I understand a number of things. Listen to this. There is no man that is only good in this life. Please just get it into your heart. There is no man. Even Jesus said it. A ruler came to Jesus and said, good master. I said, Jesus said, no. No man is good. Jesus told him. He called Jesus good. Jesus said, no man is good. Even me, I'm not good. He said, only God is good. Now, do you know why only God is good? Now, let me tell you why only God is good. God is good because He is God. And then He can design or He can determine to do only good. You can't force Him to do evil. But you see, man, leave that thing. You can make a good man bad. Are you here? You can't make God bad. God cannot become bad because of you. That's why He's the only good person in the whole life. But we humans, we can be good and what? And bad. Now that's the truth. And that's why most of you, you get broken. You get heartbroken. Say, I never imagined you could do such a thing. Even God cannot trust man. I mean, God where everything clear for AI. No, if you trust man, now you won't come trust man. In Jeremiah 17:5, God spoke to Jeremiah. He said, woe means curse. Woe is he that trusts in man. Woe. You shouldn't expect less. There is no good man anywhere. In that good man is a bad man. It's bad. So bad. And you think he wants you to breathe? He will not allow you to breathe. We frustrate your breathing. Okay. Man. And I'll tell you why. You need to understand the makeup of man. When you understand the way man is designed, you can have good relationships. You can have good relationships. The reason why you are not having good relationships is because you are finding it difficult coping with a good and bad man. Because you think all is good. That guy good though. This guy, they care for me. And then after some time, you become introduced to his bad. And then you become heartbroken. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 2. Let's read from verse which part of John now? Towards the end, is it verse 20, 28 or 27? John. Let me show you something. John. When Jesus performed miracles. John 2, let's read 28. Or let's start 23. If you know, like 28, not day. Let's come to 22 and 23. Okay. You see, after he was raised from the dead, verse 23. Now, see, man is motivated by something. So the easiest way to know a good man, praise God, you know a good man or a bad man by what motivates him. That's what separates, that's what determines what a person will deliver to you. Once you can check someone's motivation, you can determine what he can do. In fact, for example, someone that is motivated by money can kill because of money. Now, that's the truth. Someone that is motivated by fame can kill because of fame. So you check what motivates people. So that's why every time you see Jesus, there was always one thing scripture would say about Jesus. He knew what they were thinking. So see what happened here. He said, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many began to what? To trust him. You see it? Because. So every action of a man towards you is motivated by an intention. That's why while I was teaching the principle of life yesterday, I established that one of the basic pillars of any man's principles are his intentions. For example, if I decide that I want to be HOD so that I will oppress all those lecturers that have been doing bad things against me, that's my intention. So if everybody votes for me and say, the first thing I would do is to start winch hunting them. Just like the man that wants you to breathe. The first thing he did was to make you pay for fuel. He said, Shebi, you not agree, vote for me. When I suffer and small. So everybody has an intention. Glory to God. A majority of the time, we can sugarcoat it with whatever reason people want to hear. But deep down in our hearts, we know why we are doing what we are doing. So, but one thing about Jesus, let's read the next verse, verse 24. He said, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew human nature. See the next verse. I liked 24 and 25 together. He said, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew human nature. No one needed to tell him what mankind really like. So, listen to this. You need to study humans. That's why I'm teaching you the principle of a renewed mind. If you listen to this series over and over again, you will never have a problem with relating with people. But that's the truth. A lot of us, we trust people too much. We expect from people too much. Everything about us is too much. That's why our heart is constantly being battered and shattered and broken into pieces. Because we think that Emeka will be better than Shinedu. And then we think that Diamond will be better than Funke. Forget about how sweet the name is. The nature is still the same. Inherited from Adam. That's where all of us came from. So before God and man, we are all the same. The only thing that now changes us is the renewal of our what? Our mind. So you don't judge people by their name or by the church they attend. You judge them by what is happening to their mind. Are you with me? Amplified. I like the way the Amplified put it. He said, Amplified. He said, but Jesus, for his part, did not trust himself to them because he knew all men. And he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man, needed no evidence from anyone about man, for he himself knew what was in human nature. He could read men's hearts. So if I can read your heart, I can define your next action. It's simple. It's this thing. Jesus said something. He said, out of the abundance of the earth, The mouth speaks. And there is a verse, is in Matthew 12 or thereabout. He said, make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. He said, a tree is known by its fruit. And if you know what a tree is cultivated. So what Jesus is trying to say is this. I will define your actions in life if I check your surrounding influence. When you say a tree grows, you are talking about the effect of water, soil, the manure, the fertilizers. You're talking about the photosynthesis. All these things are the soils, the fruit, external environment. That's what I was telling you last Thursday. If I check your friends, I can predict what you will become in the next 10 years. Most of you think, just talking, it's true. That's the way the mind was designed. If I check your top 5 influences, if I check the top 5 books you read, if I check the top 5 messages you listen to, I can tell you what your life will become in the next 10 years. Because that's your external environment. That's what is influencing you. I get what I'm saying? So stop thinking that there is a good man anywhere. There is no good man anywhere. We are both good and what? And bad. So it is God that is now regulating the bad in us. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. Are we together? You see that? He said a tree is identified by his what? Fruit. He said if a tree is good, its fruit will be what? Good. He said if a tree is what? Bad. Its tree will be what? Will be bad. So that's why the Bible now says, we are born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. So look up. When I check your attentiveness to the word of God currently, I can tell what your life will become. That's how it works. So when you come to church and you see a brother speaks in tongue and his tongue is capital letter, pantokutikata, don't get close to him because of that tongue. You'll be carried away. Check his life. Check his thoughts. Check his reflexes. When people have an argument, how does he respond? That's his life. All those tongues now cover up. Now charade. So what is the nature of man? Because in John 2, the Bible says he knew the nature of man. So let's look at some of the nature that man inherited after the fall. Especially when you read that Genesis 4. There are a number of corruptions that resulted from the fall, but I want to pick 3 and try to explain them to us within the time that I have. Because what I'm trying to do is to explore the old man to us. The way fallen man's mind became. So all these tendencies. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All these tendencies, when I meet Jeremiah, I want to check those tendencies in his life. So the moment, what would determine as a minister what I'll be doing in his life is if I check these tendencies. Because over time, all of these tendencies, they produce the same results. That's why some of you get carried away. You just get into a relationship, meet people, and then you just get carried. The guy is nice. Always giving money. He's always giving me money. And you've not checked his heart. Hey. You know, go take. Go use that money. Collect your virginity. Just be there. You collect and wear. Amen. Are you with me? He go use that money, finish your life. Someone was sharing with me some weeks ago how she met a guy, and then he said, well, the guy was the one that brought her to church. Very nice guy, was always caring, always encouraging her to pray, to do things. He said, and then along the line, he would need money and he would come to her, she would give, and then one day, you know, the closeness was, he started asking her out, feelings came in, they were just having good time, amen, good time. Sometimes good time people have bad timing, glory to God. They are good, but they have a bad timing, it's just waiting for the right time for it to whoo. And then she took her school fee and gave to him. Hey, what a nice lady. I mean, the brother that was always encouraging her to do things. I thank God for her because she recovered quickly. And he said, "And Pastor, you know, my instinct was telling me there's something suspicious about this guy. But let me tell you this. Fallen man, even Romans 1 was saying it, that God left in every man a knowledge of him. Everybody has conscience. Are you following me? But let me tell you this. The conscience of an unbeliever is weak. It can only inform you. It cannot control you. It will just tell you that this guy is not good. But because it does not have renewal power, it does not have vigor, it does not have grace from God, it will not stop. The truth is this, every one of you listening to me, there is nobody in life that have walked into an evil and will not tell me that something told him not to go into it. In fact, there are times when you see people who have serious accidents, they say, "At that morning, now my body do me say, make I not go out." God is present in our lives. But the presence of God in our life, not controlling our minds and heart, will not stop evil from coming to us. That's why we're talking about renewing your mind. So the one that has a relationship with God will just know, "Guy, I'll not come out, I'm going nowhere. I'll stay here. I don't think I should go out today." Do you get what I'm saying? Guy is zapped with the money. He said, "Block her." Later, she started finding out a lot of things. But that's after the guy has taken her money. The good guy has finished the bad job. So it's only a matter of time before you get introduced to the bad in people. But you can predict it by tracing back what happened to man in Eden. So three things. Number one, the first side effect of the corrupt mind of man was consciousness of lack. Consciousness of what? Of lack. Write that down. Lack consciousness. Or what I call fear of not enough. Fear of not enough. That was the first the effect. A lot of things happened when man ate the fruit, but these three had direct effect on the soul of man. Now, every man have this effect. Is he have or has? Every man has no have. I know, say my wife will correct me when I reach us. But that's why I want to make it. I want to correct myself first. My English teacher. Every is already there. So it's have, Abby. Has. Okay, man is singular. So it has to be has. Ah. Who's saying on our work? But you know what I'm trying to say. So every man has this effect in them. Number one, lack consciousness. Consciousness of lack. Fear of lack. That's one of the first effects the fall had. The reason was because Eden was the presence of God. I mean, up till now, they've not found Eden. Because Eden is not a geographical location. Eden was a spiritual landscape. So Eden was symbolic of the abundance of God. Check Eden. God finished creating everything before he created man. So Eden was symbolic of abundance. But let me tell you what God did. The moment man became like God, God told the cherubs and said, in Genesis 3, that we can't allow man to remain here, lest he picks of the tree of life and become alive in corruption forever. Man can't, if man had eaten that fruit, man would be corrupted forever. there will be no hope of Jesus coming. So the next thing God did was to what? Send man out of abundance. And then, before he did that, he already cursed the what? The ground. So two things. Number one, man will not have enough. And number two, to even have that enough, he must what? Sweat. So that was what man inherited from Adam. That's why, look up, look up. In every human being is the fear of lack. Even small picking. Give Shaman Shalom food, may they chop. He get the way Shalom go, they chop the food, Shaman go verse. He go run, call and say, Mommy, Shaman does not want me to eat. So Mommy will now say, okay, no problem, there is still food in the pot. Now that fear is in every human being. And it is that fear that empowers corruption. That's why politicians are stealing your money. Because they don't want to leave politics and be poor. Adam tasted abundance. I mean, let me tell you the truth. The truth in life is this. Let's be sincere with ourselves. If you have ever been rich, you will never want to be poor. The difference there, especially if you were poor before you became rich, is there. Let's not deceive ourselves. That fear, that's why people don't give. People don't give because they don't have. They don't give because they think if they give, there will not be enough to spend. It's the fear. It starts. See, if you don't understand what happened to man at the fall, you will not know what's happening. So when you come in to tell me that one Muslim will come and then it will be very sincere, there will be no corruption, you are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. See, I'm not trying to ridicule even believers. Sometimes, if his mind has not been renewed, are you with me? Are you with me? If his mind has not been renewed, he will steal your money and kill you. And he will use Bible to convert. That's why sometimes you see, this is no way. Check his life. Has his mind been renewed? Inside of every human being is a corrupt nature. And that corruption was traceable to the fear of lack. You know, go rich. No, why do you think that your roommates will buy foodstuff and lock it inside cupboard? You know, I'm not saying you, I'm saying your roommates, because I know you are very, very, very good in giving. I know you are so kind. If you get food, you just bring everything out. So it's not you I'm talking to. Is that your roommate that I'm talking to? And God bless you if your roommate is here. Are you following me? Why? We have just, you see, let me tell you this. You don't need anybody to teach you to be stingy. Have you ever attended a seminar and the title of the seminar is How to Be Stingy? Even if they tell you to attend, you will not attend, because stinginess is already your birthright. In fact, there are some people, they will go to the seminar, they will be the one teaching the presenter. I say, guy, you don't know it is stinginess. You don't know it is stinginess. Some people can hide food inside where they put their clothes, just so their roommate will not have idea that that's where the food is. See, we thank God for the gospel that is changing our life. We thank God. It was inherited by the fall. So that was why the Bible recorded Genesis 4, Cain and Abel. Scripture said Cain brought sacrifice. Abel brought sacrifice. Now the difference between their two sacrifices was reflective of the extent of good. The truth is, there is nobody that is good. Are you getting me? So there is good and what? There is bad. But because of the influence of God, now let me tell you this. There are three things that influences us out of this nature. Every human being, let's take for example, there are some people, they are not born again, but they are very liberal. They are very liberal. They are not born again, but they are very charitable. Now trace it back. It's either their mom taught them or their grandma taught them. Somebody taught them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody taught them. I was reading, most of you have heard of this man, one of the richest men in this world, Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller. I mean, that guy was so rich, but he was also very shrewd. You know, that word they have me to spend most time, to pronounce, shrewd. S-H-R-O-E-W. He was shrewd. I was reading his biography. They said the man was so shrewd that you as his friend, you always want to be his best friend. But you and his enemy, you want to be his worst enemy. There is this kind of double life he had. But one thing about this man was very rich. Now, the secret of his wealth was traceable to his mother. He said while he was small, the mother taught him the principle of savings, investment, and tithing. Mother taught him that. He said, any money you have, the first thing you must do is to give it to God. So he now told him that you can give 10% to God. Go and read about John D. Rockefeller. The mother taught him. Was it the mother or the grandmother? Shall mother day inside. Taught him. So that's how I started doing. So he started managing his finance on that principle. So anytime money comes, he will remove, he will give to God, he will invest, he will remove, he will be. And gradually, that was how he was expanding his empire. He became one of the richest. Up till now, his children are still eating from his wealth. So what I'm trying to say, effect, is this. The level of wickedness in us can be regulated by our family background. If you come from a poor family, when we say food no day, and your father no come sabi God, and he don't know how to give, you go stingy. Aka gum. Now, plier, you go take the cover of your pot. Because it's a mindset. You just get it. That's it. You not go rich, oh. Because it is very easy for children to learn to share when they see their parents share. Because there are some parts of your soul that can be regulated by your environment. It's not only the Spirit of God that can regulate your soul. Let me give you a practical example. You don't see Nigeria bad driver go UK before. Let's go UK. Maybe just see speedly. You know, do you know that Nigerians have a way of coordinating the moment they get to UK and Canada and all these foreign countries? So the problem is not them per se. See, every human has the configuration to keep law. It is dependent on the law enforcement system in place. For example, you know, gay as you be as a student, you say, you know, they lie, wake up early, they fix exam for 7. In fact, you're not going to sleep that night. I could just be like this. That's what we are saying. So that's why people say, hey, I can't keep law. You know, the reason they say that I can't keep law is because the law keeper, the law enforcer are not strong. May they tell you, say, if you come exam hall, 8 o'clock, dot, you not go enter exam. Let the village people cash. They don't feel people try. 5 o'clock like this, you don't wake up. Your eye, they look the time. Some people go even go class, they go sleep the class. So that's what I'm saying. So there are, I said the evil nature can be regulated. I didn't say can be removed by your background, your upbringing. And then it can be influenced by your environment. But most times, these two are not guaranteed. The greatest guarantee is the power of the Holy Ghost. That's where the real change. So fear or consciousness of lack. Now, that fear now produced the next one. Now produce the next one. Desperate desire to be accepted. Acceptance. Desperate desire to be accepted. You see, fallen man became estranged from Eden, and the consciousness of lack automatically became the side effect. Am I correct? Now, don't forget that the soul of man already had a encounter with the Spirit of God. You know, Adam knew the difference between when he was not falling and when he's falling. So when he fell, he knew what he enjoyed while he was in Eden. And God left in every one of us a longing for his presence. God left in every one of us. If you read Romans chapter 1, I think verses, verse 22 or 23 or thereabouts. Let's see Romans 1, if I'm not mistaken, that verse. It said, Romans 1, 23. Let's go down. It said, okay, let's, 21. Yes, they knew God. Yes, they knew God, but they couldn't what? Worship him as God. And they began to think up foolish ideas. Their minds became dark and what? Confused. 22. Go back to 20. Okay. He said, for ever since the world was created, people have seen this earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. So they have no excuse for not what? So that every human being knows there is God. So God left in us a desire for himself. So this is what resulted from the fall, because that desire is there. So that desire now formed into what I call crave for acceptance. Everybody wants to be accepted. Every human being. For those of you that have read Maslow? Yes. Hierarchy of needs. You will see those things there. Those are the greatest desire of any man. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen to this. Start checking this even among your friends, among people around you. Start checking, for example, their consciousness of lack. How do they handle what they have? It reflects in the level of dealing God has done in them. Are you following me? For example, growing up, there's something my dad used to tell us, and he practicalized it. He said, never use food to punish anybody. That's why, you know, guy, I eat you rich. If you're hungry, I'll give you food. You know, guy, I be. So if I give you food, nothing say that because say you be my friend. Because even my enemy self, I go give them food. Now, just the way they bring us up. Do you understand? So, you know, then we used to watch some skits and drama those days when you see, we used to watch all those things. You see, somebody would just be in the room. When he wants to eat, he will lock the door. When somebody locked the door, there was one I watched. The moment the person was coming, was sitting outside, now put the food behind chair, and dog now came, ate the food. those things. Because if you have really lived, you realize that most times, those things you starve people of, you end up wasting them. You know, for example, sometimes some people are just so wicked. No, let me not use the word wicked. Let's say unrenewed. Let me start using the word. Their mind is not so renewed. Because when their mind become renewed, they will let go of those things. You know, so people can have shoe in their wardrobe that they can't wear it. The shoe is smaller than them. But each time they remember how much they bought it, they just like seeing it in the wardrobe. I mean, how can people be that wicked? Okay, now I said I don't want to use wicked. Unrenewed. I'll start using unrenewed now. I mean, why? Give it out. The same God that provided the resources to buy that, provide the resource for another one. And those knowledge, the Bible says, Be transformed in the spirit of your mind. Be transformed in the spirit of your mind. Be transformed in the spirit of your mind. It is God that begins to change your thinking. Do you understand it now? For example, your mom called you and gave you 2 modules of rice, like you were not even expecting it. You now took that 2 modules of rice. Your roommate now came and said, "Guy, I never chopped since morning, no." And you say, "Ah, guy, now see the same condition all of us deal. We are looking up to this administration that things will just be better for us. So, guy, nothing. Even if you get safe, I feel common. I feel join you." Now, and that's the scenario of a renewed mind. Now, but if you are a believer, the word of God will tell you that freely you have received, freely you what? You give. There is a very bad knowledge, and all of these are influenced by people whose mind are not renewed. There's something they used to tell us. I used to have friends that said, that why would I give out somebody something that someone gave me as a gift? No, it's gift. I can't. The truth is this. Biblically, Bible says freely you have received, freely you give. So meaning the easiest thing for a believer to even give should be gift. But the world say, what's so peculiar about? No. Yes, is a gift. Who is the person now sitting? So is the person, if the person's mind is renewed. Do you understand? So we realize that our culture and our environment has played a fast one on us because everyone in the world today inherited Adam. So that's why Romans 12 now came. Verse 2. He now says, be careful what you are copying. Now that's the renewal. So someone says, hey, I don't give gifts. The believer says, freely you have received. So since my mom remembered me and gave me this food stuff, what I'm going to do is this. I'll share it into 2 parts. And I'll share 1 part to people that needs it more. Do you understand? Now, do you know what you've just done? You have defeated the fallen what? Nature. You are not scared. Hey, but sir, what if tomorrow can't come now, no food to eat? Jesus now said, you are not even assured of tomorrow. I was with a pastor yesterday where we're coming from guardian of Reverend's wife burial. The pastor shared with me something. He said the wife works in a bank. That the wife just came back from one far place. Is it Kano or somewhere? He said what happened was that a man had accident not long ago. He said, she said they've not even buried the man, sir. So, and the man had so much money in his account. So the wife just came to the bank that he wants to withdraw everything. So the bank was suspicious. Now, why would you just come? Someone just died, and then he said, my son is the next of kin. He said, his son is 7 years. So the bank, they must follow some procedure. So they said they have to go and verify some things, a lot of process. Percy died. I'm sure they still get small breathing when they breathe. The people when they are alive won't go collect the money. And if it be say when the man they are alive, he get many things where the man not do because he won't keep that money. So that's why in Timothy, Paul says something that is very profound. Now, all of these are the renewal of what? Mind. I told you that renewal of mind is imposing the word of God on your culture. That's what he said. Don't copy. The word says, gather, so that your people will not suffer. The bishop, I was in the Anglican church yesterday, and the bishop said something that struck me. It struck me. And this was what he said. He said there are a number of, there are old people, Anglican, they're just there. He said there are a number of you can't give to God. You can't give to the advancement of the kingdom because you claim you are building house for your children. He said, do you know that those children, where they will become aged, this house would have become old school. They will not stay in it. He said, right now, some of them have come visit you. They are staying in hotel. And that thing struck me. And that's the truth. That there are some things We are trying to be so intentional about. No, he said it, and I'm still going to say. He said, I'm not saying don't build us to stay, but don't jeopardize your heavenly investment for earthly things. He said, because the worst they can be is that they will die with you. And that's the truth. I mean, there are parents, the moment they die, the children start selling their properties. And they will jackpot. No, it's the truth. So it takes a renewed mind. And that's where Timothy now came to me. Growing up, that verse of scripture, I don't joke with it. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. He said, because you didn't bring anything to this world and you're not going to take anything away. He said, the only thing in Thessalonians, he said, the only thing that will last is your investment in people's life. And that's what I made up my mind to do. I'm going to invest in people's life. Because that's your crown in heaven. You think, where is let's trumpets and let's go to heaven. You say, go heaven, go to dance. Somebody say, go heaven, go to dance. You say, that's what you're going to do in heaven. The first thing you do that will be done to you is you will be given reward. God will say, come. I gave you so number of souls to attend to. You were faithful with it. Come into your rest. That's why some of you look at your life. You have been born again for only God know how many years. Not one soul to your account. And you are saying, on that day when the Lord shall come, remember me. Remember you. Why will he remember? What are you bringing with you? You are going to be bringing a bone straight. There's no bone straight in heaven, no. When we reach heaven, no clothes. You see where Adam and Eve be before the fall, that's where we'll go be. Your mind should be renewed. It's true. Let's tell ourselves some truths. Sometimes when you attend burial, you begin to retrospect. And one of the people I like the way they bury is the Muslim. You die today, tomorrow. Have you seen when a Muslim is buried before? No matter how rich the Muslim is, now wood, they go just knock. They go just knock the wood, wrap inside white cloth, put inside, don't throw inside ground. I mean, the dad, the body, all this way they carry. Egbon, you know I be. That's why he said, if you have clothing and raiment, be satisfied. I read James. James says something that I can't forget. These are the things, these are the scriptures that gives our lives going. James said, if you have what to eat and what to wear, he said, be contented. And that's one of the things. Like my wife is said, that's the way I live. That's what we're going to. I said, let tomorrow come. It's good to have money in account. Good, no problem. Save. I'm not saying don't save. But the truth is, I'm not assured of tomorrow. You can wake up in the morning stronger and healthy. And in the evening, drip is in your hand. I mean, there are times, have you cooked your best kind of meal before and then you return no appetite? Life is so transient. So all of the struggles we are experiencing was because of the fall. We left Eden and we became conscious of what? Lack. Sometimes you see ladies especially. Ladies say, hey, I don't know what to wear. I don't have what to wear. Most times, if a lady is telling you, I don't have what to wear, she doesn't want to repeat clothes. No, I'm not talking to the ladies here because I know you like repeating clothes. You know, sometimes as a man, if you just get like 2-3 trousers, just wear them. That's why most of our trousers are always dark colored. You know, say we as men, we get many things where they bother our head. We know our lack clothes. Sometimes my wife will be asking me on Saturday, what are you wearing tomorrow? I say, I don't even know. If we just reach there, anyone just... Now, you know women get plenty of time when they take day. We love them. Glory to God. A lovely set of people. So you say, ladies, so have you gone to some ladies' room before? You go just see shoe everywhere as if in a boutique. And they will still tell you they don't have transport fare, they don't have this. It's as if the fall now that side affects their wear. You see clothes everywhere, bags everywhere, and you know they finish though. You still ask her, say, and this money that is coming, say, I must buy 2 shoes. Amen. I celebrate women, oh, Glory to God. You know, men will just go check the wardrobe and it just... That's why you see most times men know they now food. Men know they joke with food. So that they can think well and plan well. As well as a woman, if you want to cause problem for your husband, know they give her good food. Sometimes they not be the fat session, you know, bring money come. That food don't go they join. See, if you marry your husband when be say you know to get money, just they give her food, you go they smile. Who they clap for them? Say with me, I'll be contented. So greed, consciousness of fear, gave birth to desperate desire to be accepted. So because now there is lack, so wherever we see that provision can come, we want to be accepted there. Let me tell you the truth. One of the greatest need of every believer is favor. Everyone wants to be favored. Because we believe that once we are accepted, the one that accepts us can attend to those things we want. We need. That's why there is conflict. That's what happened to Cain and Abel. And we close here. The third thing it gives birth to is greed. Envy. We'll pick up from here on Thursday. Let's be on our feet. When there is fear of lack, fear of not enough, it creates a desire to be accepted. Are we following that? Everybody's greatest need is acceptance. Nobody likes being rejected. Am I correct? Nobody likes being rejected. And there are two people or two entities we seek acceptance from. Number one, we seek acceptance from God. That is what we call religion. And then number two, we seek acceptance from people. That's what we call relationship. That's why the two most important things in every man's life is God and people. That's just it. Because this is how it works. We believe that once we have God, God will give us the gold which will solve our fear of lack and not enough. Then two, we want to relate with influential people because they will give us opportunities to have more. So that's why every human being wants to chase God, either the G-O-D capital letter or the G-O-D small letter. And then number two, we want to chase humans. We want to have relationships. That's why I was watching a skit. The guy said, what are the three qualities you want in a man? Number one, he must be God-fearing. Number two, he must look good. Number three, he must have money. She now emphasized it. He said, not just money, plenty money. Not just plenty money, money to take care of me. So those first two are insignificant. Now that third one will be the main one. And the truth is this, the reason most people need God, it's not because they love God. It's because they believe God can solve their needs. So we are using God to solve the number one problem. Put this on, please. So we are using God to what? To solve the... And God is saying, no, don't come to me because you want the gold. Come to me because you want your God. So when you now come to me for that reason, I will now give you those things that you don't even seek after. Are you together? Are we together? So these are the three main problems. Number one, fear of lack. Consciousness of lack. Side effect one. Side effect two, crave, desire to be what? Accepted. Sir, Cain killed Abel because he felt he was not accepted. So what could be in his mind was that Shemina too will be. If I kill him, may we see who God will accept. So Cain thought that killing Abel will make God accept him. So most times as humans, that's what we think. We think that spoiling him before him will make him like me more than him. That's the third thing it produces. Envy. As man's three major problems. You can't go far with anybody if these three things are in their life. Envy produces greed. Two, envy produces hoarding. Hoard. Fear of lack. I didn't mention it. I should have mentioned it earlier. Not envy now, sorry. Fear of lack produces greed. Fear of lack produces hoarding. Envy produces malice, murder, jealousy, and all of those things. They are under it. Is that okay? So what are we renewing our mind from? Number one, we are renewing our mind from what? Fear of lack. He said, God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. Number two, we are renewing our mind from what? Desperate desire to be accepted. God now said, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Bible now says, God can't accept you because there is evil in you. God now gave us his son and now told us, receive my son into your life. I will accept you forever. So religion says, no, I want God to accept me because of my tithe and offerings. God said, no, your tithe and offerings are not good because the motive can be wrong. If I use your tithe and offering to determine how I'm going to bless you, I'm not going to be doing you well. So come in, accept my son, and then I will accept you. And then the truth is this, even in our relationships with people, nobody will accept you because you want them to accept you. They will accept you because you have something in life that will make their life. So when we are saying renewing your mind, we are saying, number one, renew your mind from fear of lack. Stop being afraid that your granite oil will soon finish. We know it will finish, but don't be afraid of it. If you allow that fear to stay, Satan will take advantage of it and make you to start hoarding. And the Bible now says in Proverbs, there is he that scattereth, yet have more. He said, but there is he that withhold more than is met, and it tends to lack. So the end point of lack consciousness is more lack. So that's why you see most of these people, you think they have money. They don't have anything. Because most of them don't have peace. Most of them don't have health. I was sharing me of someone who worked in the polytechnic that currently he has withdrawn almost all his savings to treat a particular sickness. That up till now the sickness has not left. So all the money he saved during his lifetime, he will finish it before his death. So what is life? So that's why Paul now said, God bless. He said, God bless the cheerful. As we go on in this series, I'll teach you what the blessings of God is. The Lord spoke to me early this morning. He said, the blessing of God is not your salary. It's not the profit from your business. The blessings of God is increase. When by the time you calculate all the money you made in a month and calculate all that you got that month, the money is not going to be enough. Where did the others come from? The blessings of God. How does God bless you? Sometimes God blesses you by not allowing your appliances to break down. Keeps it going. God blesses you by not allowing your bone to break. Do you know if this bone breaks, do you know how much they will take to fix it? The worst thing that can ever happen to a man is to collect your salary and be using it to repair things, treat sicknesses. That's why sometimes as believers, we are not grateful to God for what he's doing in our lives because we don't have 10 million in our account. That is how the world thinks. Listen to this. I don't even need to have 1,000 naira in my account for me to be grateful to the blessings of God. The fact that I am well, I have appetite, I can eat. I can even share my room with 2-3 persons. I'm blessed though. Oh boy. See, I'm the most blessed man. I don't know about you. Say I'm the most blessed man. Say I'm the most blessed woman. Most of you don't know that for you to even pay your friend's transport from PS to Mini is a blessing. And that's why, listen, if someone gives you money, don't think it's because he has plenty and become entitled to it. Take it as a privilege. Because it is only the blessed that can be a blessing. So I see it as a privilege. If someone says, "Can I stay with you?" It's a privilege. It's a sign that I'm blessed. But some of you, you see it, and those are the things you run away from. Where is the blessing? Someone needs 20 naira, comes to you. You have 500 naira in your pocket, you can't give to the person. And you come to church the next day and say, "I am blessed." No, you are not blessed, though. The end point of every blessed is to be a blessing. Let it sink into your head. That's the end point. And some of you, you need to go back to your wardrobe. You said, "God wants me to be a blessing. I don't have anything to give to people." Some clothes in your wardrobe, some people can be very happy once you give it to them. It's just a system of life. Regularly, check your shoe racks. There are some shoes there. They are still new, but you can't wear them. Do you know how happy that young man will be if you give it? You have become a blessing. Let me tell you the truth. You are not yet a blessing until you start releasing. That is the sign that you have conquered the fallen nature. Can you lift up your hands and say, "Father, thank you because I am blessed. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for blessing me." Say, "Thank you for blessing me." Say, "Thank you for blessing me. I am blessed. Oh, Gapala Tosi Alaya. I am blessed. Thank you. I am blessed. I'm a blessed man. Thank you for blessing me." See, if you have a heart to share what you have, it means you are blessed. That's what it means. Only a blessed man can be a blessing. Every time, scripture says, if you give to the least of these ones a cup of water, he said, "You have done this unto me." It's not when you give a million naira before you say you are blessed. Get rid of that lack consciousness. Leave service today. That food you will cook, call one of your neighbors and say, "Please, ma'am, please, sir, take this." It's a sign that you are blessed. You are not blessed until you start sharing. People start benefiting from it. A renewed man is a man that do not hoard. You don't keep it. Keep it for what? What are you keeping it for? You are not guaranteed tomorrow. Go ahead and say, "I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed."
Men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the Kingdom Message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.